Good morning, Jesus Christ. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you this morning, and we gather in your name, and we ask that you lead us, you guide us, and you be our inspiration. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you inspire my words, you inspire my mouth, you inspire my mind and my heart, that I speak with the conviction that comes from you as opposed to the conviction that comes from will. Holy Spirit, I ask of you to help me to honor your word and to translate what you have shared with me, Lord God Almighty, in a holy way. And Father God Almighty, I trust that not only will I speak your word, Father God, but we will trust that your word will guide our hearts, Father God, and lead us to a new revelation. Father God, this morning I want to anchor on Proverbs 3:5, Father God Almighty, and by us not leaning on our own understanding. And I ask, Father God, that I don't lean on my own understanding right now, but I lean on you in Jesus' mighty name. Good morning, everyone. I was just sharing a laugh with Sandeep that the anchor for the message this morning is for us not to lean on our own understanding and to trust the Lord with all our heart. And my laptop is failing me, so I'm trusting I'm trusting the Lord that the message will come through as it needs to. Please also, I would like to apologize. Not that I want to say that I'm ill prepared, but it's only late last night that it was decided that I was going to bring a message, and I only got home after 12, and I've got the message, but I ask the Holy Spirit serve me with what's in my heart and what's in my mind in my preparation. So as the laptop is failing, I don't think the Holy Spirit will fail. And so you've also got to just forgive me if I stutter a bit, because I've got to recollect my thoughts and recollect my mind. But my message for this morning, as I said, I want to close with a scripture in Proverbs 3:5-6. Let me just read that scripture for an opening. At least technology is not failing with the Bible on the phone. I'm reading from the Amplified translation here. It says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. The reason for me anchoring with that scripture, opening up with it, and I want to anchor with that scripture, is I want to ask us this morning is, my focus this morning is on serving. Serving on why do we need to serve and what does serving do for us? So the question is, why serve? Why serve? We don't always think we are ready, as in most cases. We never think that we are ready. We always seem to think that we need to plan a little bit more. We need to have a little bit more money. We need to have a little bit more security. We need to have a little bit more assurance with physical things. Now, sometimes it's perhaps a little bit difficult for us to focus our lives to be like Christ. Although that is our mandate, it's to be like Christ, to be Him, to represent Him, to be Him in a situation. And I think maybe sometimes we tend to focus on what we don't have that Christ had. There's so many things that we don't have that Christ had. If we're going to start focusing on that, I think we're going to get consumed. Our minds are going to get consumed by the fact that we fall short. But I don't think that is what the focus needs to be. And I've learned that in several ways now that, excuse me for just perhaps losing my focus for in a bit here. Yes. Hallelujah. That was the keynote that the laptop said I booted up. Christ came to earth and Christ showed us how to, because God instructed him, because God sent him not just to do that. Main focus was for him to come and redeem us, for him to come and save us. But how he came to save us was through his serving. And but what also became evident through the walk of Christ was that God doesn't call the qualified, but God qualifies the called. Because when Christ called the disciples, during that time, that era civilization, it was the desire of nearly every Jewish son to become a rabbi, So to follow in the footsteps of their rabbi and to be taught and to be trained to become a rabbi. So the ones who were focusing on other gifts and talents were basically the ones who were rejected being rabbis, because only the top was selected to become rabbis, to become servants and representatives of the church. And then Christ came along, and not only did he come and select the smart ones of those who were not selected to be rabbis, he came and he selected what people would not classify as leaders when he selected his disciples. And in selecting his disciples, he obviously displayed a capacity that he chose people that was obscure and not noticeable. They didn't stand out in society. And he chose them, but yet they became the disciples, and yet through them, the word was spread. And today we have the Bible, today we have the scripture, today we have the teachings of Christ because of those disciples. They were not qualified, but God qualified them. So that's my focus. And when we do things, we tend to plan, we tend to want to have everything perfect. When we get married, it takes a long time for us, first and foremost, to ask the girl that we many a day know, long time, that she's the one meant for me, and everything points to that. Then it's, okay, I need to have more money, I need to have this and that to be ready to get married. Then we get married. Then we want to have children, but no, we don't have enough money. We're going to first build up savings. We need to buy the right house. We need to have the right car, and. And then we end up having children late in our lives, or we, for some people, unfortunately, then it's too late in their lives and they can't have children because we're not ready. Who says we're not ready? It's us that say we're not ready because we judge ourselves on a worldly standard. And I'm not advocating that we should do things in an ill-prepared manner. What I'm just saying is that when do we listen to the voice of God? When do we listen to the instruction of God? There's this gentleman that I know, and I hope maybe some of you know him as well. And if you don't know him, maybe somebody who's listening on the recording, whatever, knows of this gentleman. His name is Nelson Mandela. He was the former president of our country. And this man lived a very peculiar life. He grew up on a farm out in the Eastern Cape, in a very rural area. His father died at a very young age. He was 12 years old when his father died. Then he was placed under the authority of Dalinyebo. I think it's Dalinyebo. It's the tribal leader, the tribal leader from the area that he came from. He was brought up by him as his own son. He was a chief, so he brought up Nelson Mandela with his son, and they happened to have been the same age, and they grew up together. So Nelson Mandela was groomed as if he was the son of a chief, but he was not a chief. And he led that life. Then he went to they went to university. He was expelled from the University of Fort Hare because he became vocal about human rights. He got married 3 times, so it means he had 2 divorces. He was in prison for 27 years. He had tuberculosis whilst he was in prison. Towards the latter end of his years in prison, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, started getting treated for that, got out of prison. We all know that he was very, very prominent politically. Then the ANC was disbanded when he came out of prison in 1990. Then there was to be a national election in South Africa because of apartheid, because of segregation. And he was not the identified leader for the ANC. He was not the person identified to become the president. And because of this cause and because of this unity, he became the candidate that they settle on. But basically, he became the candidate, the alternative candidate, because they couldn't agree. And because he was the political figurehead, they decided, okay, let's let him become the candidate for presidency. And then he was elected as president. With everything that he had in his life, 27 years in prison, he was groomed to be bitter. And he became president, and yet he wasn't bitter. He became a symbol of unification. He did a lot for the country. He inspired a lot of people. He inspires my heart. I had the privilege of meeting him. My wife served him for many years. But what happened in his life was, he also during the year that he was elected as president, he also released his book Long Walk to Freedom. So it was a very busy year for him in 1994. And after all of that happened during his presidency, after just one term of serving as a president, he chose to step down, which is very honorable these days, because presidents wants to hold on to power for long. And then during his presidency, his one son died of AIDS, and he had to announce to the world that his son died of AIDS. It was at a time when the pandemic was very prevalent, and it wasn't as openly spoken about, and people who died of AIDS, you wanted to keep it quiet because it was as seen as a family embarrassment, but he spoke out. And after that, he suffered the loss of his granddaughter in an accident just before the 2010 World Cup when it was hosted in South Africa. And even through that, he attended the opening ceremony. He attended all of the functions during the 2010 World Cup because he knows that he was one of the figures of unification that motivated FIFA awarding the World Cup to South Africa. So he had to bury his granddaughter during that time. And his term, he also became a laureate, a Nobel Peace Laureate. So it was a very busy time, and there was lots of things happening, but there was lots of adversity. And there's many things that happened in his life that was perhaps that says he was not ready. Circumstances were not great. But in spite of all of that, he said yes. When there was a requirement to serve, he said yes. And in saying yes, sometimes the yes has got to come in a circumstance that doesn't seem quite ideal to us. That doesn't seem as if it's the perfect time to do something. But he said yes. And in his saying yes, I'm sure he didn't think that he was going to be the ideal leader. He was going to be the ideal person to make a certain speech. He was going to be the ideal candidate to be the icon leading a specific cause. But yet he said yes. And the reason why I make reference to him, not because I'm comparing him to Christ, because he's more tangible, because he's someone that we know, it's someone that I know, that said yes, even in spite of the fact that things didn't seem perfect. And I'm sure he didn't advocate through his life that he was a son of God, but I'm sure he had faith. And many of the things that he said, he actually borrowed from Scripture, but he never referred to the Scripture. He took out the Jesus bits and he took out the Scripture bits. And a lot of his famous speeches comes from that. And I'd like to extract, but by paraphrasing, I'd like to extract from one of his speeches. One of his speeches reads as follows, that it is not failure that we fear most, but it is what we will do with success that we fail most. That we fear most. Just ponder for a bit and think about that. It's not failure that we fear most, but it's what we're going to do should we be successful in attempting something that we fear most. And the reason why I'm making reference to that scripture is the fact that many a day we like to think that we are not ready when we are being asked to do something. We like to think that, how am I going to do that? But I think what we forget is that there are situations when we don't have to be 100% prepared for. When the situation calls, then we actually have to just rise up and say something. Simon Peter had all the training in the world during his time with Christ. And all of them failed. All of the disciples failed when Christ addressed them, and when they addressed Christ, and when he asked who he was and what was he all about and all of that. But when Christ had passed on, when they were sitting in the upper room, Simon Peter got up and he said something. Because the situation required for someone to get up and say something. He said something. And Simon Peter said something all the way through his life, and he made so many mistakes, he failed. And we like to look at our lives and think, because we fail in many areas, we think we are not ready. But it's the failures that prepare us most rather than the successes in our lives. Because when we fail, we tend to focus on those areas so much that we don't want to fail again. So it means that we learn a lot more from the failure than the success, because sometimes the euphoria of success make us feel as if we are so good and we don't really focus on all the little bit of details. So let me open up my scripture here now, my message here now. I hope this thing is going to open. Yes, it is opening. Thank you, Jesus. And hallelujah. Here's my message. So, as I said, and the other thing that I want to point out with regards to Nelson Mandela's life, when I look at his life and I read a lot about him and I read a lot of him and what people said about him and things that happened around him, I also happen to know the family. I happen to have served the family in other areas of business, in business consulting. I served some of his, I served his son and his son-in-law. And, in their businesses and all that as a consultant. But something that became very evident to me regarding his life is that the amount of blessing that he had. But the blessing in his life became so apparent every time following when he said yes. Every time after he said yes, a lot of blessing came. Every time he said he'll serve, every time he gave himself, a lot of blessing came. And what I want to focus on for us this morning is the blessings that actually comes from serving. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13, it makes reference that God made each of us with unique talents, personalities, and skill sets. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, we're given at least one spiritual gift. And I know many people are given many spiritual gifts, but we are given a spiritual gift. And we get the most joy and make the biggest difference when we use our God-given gifts and talents and abilities to build this church. That's according to Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. So our purpose with what we have, our purpose with the blessing that we have, our purpose with everything that we've got is to build the church. Yes, we like to think our purpose in life is to build a good career, have lots of money, have lots of resources, lots of possessions. But no, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. It's about how we serve. And Father sort of like set the tone as well in his word, in his scripture, where it says that the body will be exhorted through the speaking of tongues and the giving of our testimonies. Now, how do we give testimony if we never serve? Because we can only give testimony if we're in an environment where the Spirit of God can work in and through us and in a situation. And that's how we are able to give testimony. So we can't give the testimony if we never serve. A second aspect that serving brings into our lives is that serving allows us to experience miracles. We don't experience miracles when we just live our lives towards ourselves, in ourselves, for my family and I. And yeah, sure, you might. But miracles are experienced because God built us in the same way that his DNA functions. He says, in the beginning it says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So we are made like God, to think like him, to function like him, so to bless like him, to pray like him, to intercede like him, to stand in for our brother and our sister like him. But yet we give in to our own thoughts, our carnal thoughts, and then we don't do that as much as we should. In John 2, it says, where it speaks about Jesus at the wedding, and the couple was running out of wine for the guests. And then we all know what Jesus did. Jesus didn't go and supply wine. He didn't go there as a supplier to the wedding. But he was at the wedding. He didn't go prepared to say, okay, like Holy Spirit. That was his first miracle, just by the by. That was his first miracle. He didn't go with the knowledge that, oh, he can pray over water and it can turn into wine. He didn't go with that knowledge. He walked everywhere where he walked with the knowledge that he trusts God, that he functions like God, and that he'll do as Father says. So he went to the wedding. They were running out of wine, and he was able to speak blessing over water and turned it into good wine. So he didn't have a script preparing him for that. Another aspect that serving allows us to do as well, serving allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. In 1 Peter 4:10 to 11, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Serving is a form of worship, people. We should come to the place that we realize that serving is, and I'm speaking to myself as well. I mean, just this week I had an amazing experience where I served a family who was from South Africa. They were here. The one son came as one of the refs for the sevens. And unfortunately, last week, Thursday, his mother suffered a heart attack. And they were in distress and all of that. And I was assigned to render, Marilyn and myself, to render consular services representing the South African consulate. And it happened to end up in such a way that I spent more than a week with them. Because eventually on Saturday morning, the mum passed away. She was brain dead, and it was sad. And coming from South Africa, there's still many parts of our country where people still live in the past, where in the rural areas, the farm areas, where people, you'll still find there's farmers who are very segregated with their workers and treat them like slaves and stuff like that. And I'm not saying this family was like that, but they come from an area like that. And it's a white family. They didn't have lots of interaction with non-whites, with black people. And through me serving them, and I didn't do anything exceptional. I didn't do anything to stand out, but I was just serving them. I was just serving in the call from the consulate and also serving as a son of God. And then eventually and I could feel the father was a bit cold towards me. But on Tuesday morning, the father cried like a boy, like he never did throughout that period. And he just threw his head on my shoulder, and he just cried and cried. And I said to him, we refer to older gentlemen as uncle. It's uncle in South Africa. And I said to him, Hans, what seems to be the problem? And he says to me, you know what, Will, I've got racial issues in my heart. I don't interact with black people much. And here we are in Hong Kong through all of this adversity. And I believe God has given us angels to take us through this process. And the angels that God gave us is you and your wife. And you and your wife are not even, you're not white people, and you serve us as we've never been served by our own people. And I could just give praise to God that for me in that moment, that was a miracle for me in that moment, that through the loss of his wife, God could reconcile his heart and fix in his heart what the issue that he had towards a black race. And I didn't know that. And I'm not saying that I was prepared for that, although my life has actually prepared me for that. But I just went there to do what I was supposed to do. And God could perform a miracle. God performs miracles when we expect it least. When we say yes, when we say we are ready to serve, then God performs miracles. He doesn't perform miracles when we are at our best prepared, when we think we're going to dictate the situation, because then there's so much in that situation of ourselves that he can't get all the glory. So God comes and he brings his glory to a situation when we least expect it. I'll quickly run through the other scriptures. Look, my timing has not been brilliant because I didn't have much time to go through my message. Serving also helps us to be more like Jesus. Just the example that I just made about Christ being at the wedding, not knowing what's gonna come, but if the situation is there, we've got enough in ourselves. We've been taught enough. We've got enough scripture. We've got enough reference in our lives that we can run towards. And if we lean on Christ and not on our own understanding, he will guide us. The Holy Spirit will guide us, because he says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. So he'll guide us. I mean, in Matthew 25:40, we read about Jesus also serving the masses. And I mean, throughout the Gospels, where Jesus serves the masses, where he needs to feed the people, all that, there was no script to prepare him for that. He just trusted. He just trusts, because God says, ask in my name and you will receive. And he asked. And then he received to serve the people. And I believe we will be allowed to do that as well. When we serve, we also give ourselves an opportunity to be surrounded by other followers of Christ. Because the minute we stand up and say yes, there's another brother and a sister in the audience or in the crowd or in that situation that also wants to say yes, but they need a little bit of encouragement. And when we say yes, then it encourages my brother. When Ernie says yes, then he encourages me to say yes. When Sandeep says yes, then encourages Jason to say yes. So it's just, we inspire one another. We inspire one another's hearts. So there's a lot of good coming from it. When we serve, it allows us to increase our faith. That is evident as well in Ephesians 3:20. As we move out of our comfort zones, God increases our faith by revealing new potential in ourselves, in His church. When we see what He can do, and when we see His power at work within us, then we begin to do more. And then we begin to do more because we see that, hey, man, I don't have to have all the knowledge. I just have to dispense God's power. And then we begin to do more and we get encouraged to do more. The reason why the pastors and the people who are employed by the church are always busy is because they always dispense. They're always in a situation where they've got to dispense. And they're not necessarily always ready. Sometimes you go to a function when they ask and they say, Pastor Sam, can you just come and open up in prayer for us? Maybe he was not even asked, he must open up in prayer. But because he's got the Holy Spirit inside of him, because he has dispensed God's word on so many occasions, he's confident enough to say yes. Even though he's not prepared for this opening, he'll walk up and then he'll say yes, and he'll come and pray, and the Holy Spirit will guide him. And many a day you'll find that his prayer is so accurate. Most pastors, most sons, not just pastors, The prayer is so accurate because the Holy Spirit inspires you to pray accurately for that situation. And then people applaud and people are inspired and people say, hallelujah, amen. Not because of the man, it's because of the Holy Spirit. And just because he said yes. So serving allows us to experience, you know, God's presence in new ways. The encouragement of healing. When we pray for someone, I also had the privilege of going to that conference that was hosted by Dr. Hugo Chan and them about prayer that was facilitated by the ministry from Miami, from Apostle Maldonado. Of his sons were here and they taught us how to pray for healing and whatever. And on one occasion they called me up to the stage and I had to pray for a few people there. And man, you're being put on the spot. I suppose it was easy to choose me. I was the only black man in the room. So it was easy. They wanted to get a diversity of people on the stage, I think. So it was, I'm tall and I'm black. I was the only black man in the room, so I was chosen. It wasn't because of something I did. But then I had to say yes. So I walked up and so we had to pray for people. I prayed for this one lady who had back pain or whatever, and I prayed and she got healed. But still in my heart, I felt like I wanted to do a little bit more because it's something that you couldn't see. And the next person I had to pray for was a guy who was limping. The guy was limping. And it's not the first time that I prayed for someone that got healed, but somehow I can't always get myself into that place to, you know, to dispense that. Because I suppose a lot of myself comes into the situation. And this guy came and I had to pray for him. I prayed for him once, nothing happened. I prayed for him a second time, nothing happened. And then the pastor who was teaching us wanted to interview me. And just as he wanted to interview me, another pastor said to me, pray for him another time. Just pray for him one more time. And I prayed for this guy and I'm like, in my heart, I'm like, Lord, please let something happen, you know. Let this man get healing. Let this man just be, let him just give glory. And I prayed, simple prayer that I prayed. And just asked God for healing into his body. And the next thing, the guy was running on the stage, no limp anymore. Praise God for that. And the thing is, I was in that situation where, you know, I've prayed for him twice already. I don't have anything to, you know, to hide behind anymore. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But God, you said, and this, I was invited by this, so it's not for my name, it's your name. Boom, there the guy got healed. So we are able to experience God's power when we just trust, we just say yes. And once again, I want to just reiterate, I'm not advocating we should be ill-prepared. I don't want to advocate that we should be ill-prepared for a situation. But life prepares us. The Holy Spirit prepares us. And if we say yes to situations, then God will work through us. And the last point that I want to make is that when we serve, it is good for our soul. It encourages us. It allows us to trust the Holy Spirit more. It allows us to encourage others to trust the Holy Spirit. and not giving to ourselves. So let us stop making the rational explanations for not serving that I don't have time. I didn't have time. I was last night late at 12. After 12, I started preparing for this message. And I'm not saying I'm walking on water, not for 1 minute. I'm just saying I said yes. I don't know what I would do. Let's not focus on those things. I don't have any special skill. God has given us all gifts. We all can contribute in a way to His church. And sometimes we also like to think, but they don't need me. No, that's wrong. The body needs us all. The body needs us, each and every one of us. The body needs each of us to be our 100% selves, so that when we give what we give, then the body doesn't lack that bit that God gave us to contribute. And I want to reiterate again that God doesn't call the equipped, but God equips those whom are called. God doesn't just want to work through us. He also wants to work in us. And sometimes He needs us to say yes for Him to work in us. So I'd like to invite Brother Ernie to come up to the stage. And I want to make reference back again to the scripture, and I want to read it again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Amplified Version, as I'm reading from here, is lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and recognize Him and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain our paths. So things will be made easy. The more we trust, the more we trust God, the easier it will become. The more we say, Father, You do it through us, You allow me to serve, the easier the path is going to become. Thank you.
Thank you.
Father God Almighty, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for that song of worship and praise, Father God. Thank you that that song, Father God, can remind us, Lord God Almighty, that we can love you and we can trust in you, Father God, and you will always be our God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that you were reassuring, God, that Father God Almighty, that you've placed your word higher than your name. Thank you, Father God, that you are always true. Thank you that you are always there, that you're a reliable God. Thank you, Father God Almighty, that you are not a man to lie. Father God, thank you, Father God, that you are true and the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father God. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for your spirit. Thank you that we can trust and lean on you, Father God, and lean not on our own understanding. And we know that you will make our way straight, Father God. In all likelihood, as we recognize you and just acknowledge you in our lives, Father God. Father God, we are here this morning to come and just share word and devotional, Father God, but also to come and pray, Father God Almighty. We are here to pray in your name, and we are here to pray for our community, Father God, our community who are suffering with cancer, Lord God Almighty. And I'd like for us to just focus on the list on the board, and let's just pray this through and just call upon that gift that God has given us, the gift of prayer, and speak blessing over these people and call for his healing. Let's also just focus on those in the community suffering from illness and needing salvation. Let's also focus on those in the community suffering with infirmities and or challenge. And let's also just pray for if the healing and the relief is not to come through themselves, but through laborers, through people who've got to say yes. So let's pray for those to say yes in their lives as well. Let's also ask, Father, to open up doors, to open up the right doors, to close the wrong doors, to give the right opportunities to our brothers and sisters who are standing for jobs. Let's speak for Father to bring into their lives an opening that will not just serve them and serve them in their professional capacity, but for them to serve the community and their families through the jobs as well, in Jesus' mighty name. Let's just focus on let's keep, bring our focus to the mission focus. Pray for North Korea for open doors for his ministry. And I also just want to encourage us to be reminded of the good things that has happened in the past few months with regards to discussions, negotiations politically in North Korea. So we need to give praise to God and thank Him for the progress that's already been made, but we need to keep on pushing. And also for the mission opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and for the persecuted churches, specifically in the Middle East. Let's also pray for all the weekend gatherings. We also want to pray for the EG retreat, GIC, women's discipleship, the prison outreach, the drug rehab, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship and hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP Indonesia, services and activities, and all other meetings that you know that you will also be going to. All people that you'll be gathering, because every time you gather in His name. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, again, once more again for this morning, Father God. I'd like to pray, Father God Almighty, that every time that we gather in your name, which is that should be every time that we gather, Father God Almighty, that we, when we get together, when we meet with our friends, we meet with family, Father God, when we get, especially when we come to church, Father God, that we come with an expectancy, Father God, that we are expectant to see your power at work, Father God, because what is gathering in your name, Father God, if your power is not at work? What is gathering in your name if we are not able to dispense your, through your Holy Spirit the miraculous works that you want us to do and be the representatives of, Father God? I speak, Father God, we call upon each and every one of this congregation in SP, Father God, that tomorrow when we come to church, Father God, already now where we are now and where they're going to serve within the various outreaches, Father God, house churches, but in the various forms of ministry, Father God, that we come fully expectant, Father God, that we come expecting to see your work, your power at work, Father God. Expecting to dispense your power, Father God. Father, prepare us on our hearts that we are ready to serve, that we are able to say yes, even if we sometimes feel and think the situation is not ideal. Allow us to say yes. And when we say yes, Holy Spirit, we are leaning on you and we are trusting on you to just do your work in Jesus' mighty name.